Sometimes I wonder what happened to us. It's like a marriage gone bad. I remember the day when we both met, our eyes locked, and it was going to be a relationship that would last forever. But then, politics got involved. You went Republican, I went Democrat, and the world began to change. We were no longer able to discuss our differences. Instead, we were both seething in anger and despair. What happened to us? Well, this relationship is not between people, really. It's between ourselves and our country. What happened to us? United we used to stand, divided we're falling. Why can we no longer find that common ground where I understand you and you understand me? What happened to us? Why have we drifted so far apart to the point where we're both worse off, lesser of a person, weaker, more in despair, nervous? What's the answer? Is it alcohol? Self-medication? No. The answer is, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I pinch myself, not only because I like to hurt myself first thing in the morning, but because I can't believe that it's not a nightmare. No, it's real. Maybe someday this nightmare will end, and I will awaken in the morning with some type of hope, peace, tranquility. But that hasn't happened right now. I awaken in a pool of cess, in a swamp. Ah, to hope, to dream. When all of us are one, united to save the planet, live happily, live in prosperity, looking out for our fellow human beings, loving our animals, enjoying every moment of life, respecting each other, being one. Where the only objective and the only goal is a finer humanity for all. Is it silly to think this way? You bet your ass it is. It's ridiculous. It's never going to happen.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Pretty sad, isn't it, huh? Pretty sad.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. Sorry to start the show off on such a dour note, but that is where we are. That is it. We've got a president who's only concerned about himself. Screw the country. We've got a Supreme Court justice appointment that is on the horizon that the Republicans say will surely, and I'm not talking about surely, I'm talking about surely, reverse Roe v. Wade, which means if you want an abortion, you're going to have to take a flight to Tijuana. Maybe. I mean, maybe the states will be certain states you can do. I don't know how it's going to, but you know, what if, I got a question for you, and nobody seems to know the answer to this, and nobody's even posing the question. What if Kavanaugh is, do you even know what I'm talking about? What if Kavanaugh is appointed for a lifelong appointment as a Supreme Court judge? And then after he's appointed, a couple of months down the road, they find out that this accuser was right. They find out that a party did exist and that people did see him there and go into a room with this girl. What if that actually happens and they gather this information after he's appointed? Can you be removed from a lifelong appointment? I think a president can actually be impeached. Can you impeach a Supreme Court judge? Or are you stuck with this guy? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And what in the world, in this country, are we doing with lifelong appointments? Who the hell came up with that? Whose idea was that? You can have this job until you die? What is this, a dictatorship? What is that about? And the American people don't even vote on it. This is an appointment by the president. And the Republican-run Senate decides yes or no when the public has nothing to do with it whatsoever. If there was a public vote right now, would Kavanaugh become a Supreme Court judge? I don't know the answer to that, but no one's asking me. A lifelong appointment. The only other place that you have lifelong appointments is when you're the Pope. And that doesn't affect me all that much. I don't have a local Pope branch, you know what I'm saying? I have nothing to do with this Pope thing. But I have everything to do with, or should have everything to do with, the appointment of a Supreme Court judge that can sit there and make a decision based on tipping the scales as to how my life is run. How I can do or not do certain things. How society changes. How this country evolves. And it can be done for political reasons, and they can get away with it. When President Obama had the ability to appoint a Supreme Court judge, he didn't rush through it. He left it alone for the next president. Then the next president comes along, and they rush this through before anybody can think twice about it. Don't forget that those supporting this Judge Kavanaugh appointment didn't release hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents to the committee until the day, the evening before the confirmation hearings. Who's holding back information now so that it couldn't be reviewed in full before the confirmation hearings even began? I personally am so sick of manipulation, political manipulation. And the man that promised that when he got in the White House he would drain the swamp has filled the swamp more than any other president in my lifetime. Almost every single person that he's appointed in his campaign, and some even in his presidency, but more so in his campaign, he surrounded himself with people who have since been indicted, and not unfairly, people who have been indicted and admitted, yes, I did nasty wrong stuff. I colluded with the Russian government. I had meetings with them. I hid the information. I lied. I did bad things. These are all Trump picks. This wonderful manager of the world, this Trump businessman, has chosen the worst people on the planet to work with him during his campaign and probably beyond. Here's a man who was caught on tape degrading women, talking about how he has the ability as a star to grab anybody's pussy who's a female, and beyond probably if he wanted to, degrading women in a sexual and physical manner, owning and running beauty pageants where he would show up in the dressing rooms just to gawk at the women, paying off porn stars after having visitations and affairs with them so that the information didn't get to the public. This is a man who backs a rapist for a Republican seat in a certain state. Let's call him Roy Moore, this candidate. Backs him. Backs a rapist. This is the man you chose. You know, I understand how it happened. I totally understand how it happened. You didn't have a choice. It's like going into a restaurant. I've got to eat something. I'm starving. I have to make a decision. Do I want the five-day old meat that's been sitting on the floor in the kitchen? Or do I want the rotted pasta that's been sitting in the garbage can? One way or the other, I'm going to get sick. You had no choices. You had no choices. So you went with the new one, figuring, I'll buy some snake oil for a little while. It's not your fault. You had no choices. You were pissed off. Everybody was pissed off. A lot of you hated Obama. A lot of you figured the guy should have never been in the White House. I don't know how that happened. So you quietly just sat there until someone came along who verbalized how much they hate Obama, even questioned the fact he was a citizen for all that time. I get it. I get it. I get it. Now we find ourselves in this nightmare position. I didn't bargain for this, did you? Nobody told me there'd be days like this.
Nobody told me there'd be days like this.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Do I feel sorry for this potential Judge Kavanaugh? No. The guy's a judge. He'll always be a judge. Nothing's going to ruin his reputation. And even if his reputation is ruined, he's got enough money, he'll be fine. Guy's got a nice life. What the hell? He's got a lifelong position there, you know. You never have to put in another job application. You're good for life. You know. Could die on the Supreme Court and you would have been a hero. You know, what? He's not moving. Judge Kavanaugh isn't moving. Yeah, he's dead. Replace him. Next, please. Next. On the other hand, this Christine Blasey Ford, She's at a party, apparently, 35 years ago. Who wasn't? She's forced on her back, nearly suffocated to keep her quiet by somebody holding their hand over her mouth, starting to remove her clothes. Guy's drunk, can't even remove her clothes properly, but could by mistake kill her by suffocating her, pinning her to the bed, closing the door so nobody can interrupt, an attempted rape. For her to come forward publicly in front of the whole country with this seething attitude and division, she's already had death threats. She's had to move from her home and be protected at an undisclosed location, her and her family. Her life has pretty much already been ruined. She knew this would happen because in the United States, unfortunately, we are so divided and so angry, we get into death threats here. This civilized country gets into death threats. She's scared as hell to ruin her life, to have her face plastered on television or in front of these senators. She remembers that it was Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh's friend was standing there urging Kavanaugh on and then at a point saying, "Ooh, don't do this. You be careful. He's getting out of hand." They're both drunk, she says. Come to find out that this friend of this alleged situation is a guy that wrote a book about how during his teenage years when this happened, he was always drunk and his friends were always drunk and they used to go to parties and do indescribably horrible things to people. Well, there's a character witness I want to hear from. But the guy has said, Mike Judge, I believe his name is, ironically, he has said, I don't want to be talked to, leave me alone. Yet his book is right there describing how he and his friends got drunk as teenagers, case in point, and did horrible things to people. You know, this is something that needs to be heard. And yet there's a rush to get Judge Kavanaugh onto the Supreme Court, beginning for the October session, so that they can begin chipping away at all the prior decisions. It's all political, kids. But I just don't understand how Democrats and Republicans can't get together on things and figure things out, and why the man at the helm in the White House daily tweets about how horrible Democrats are and how the press is the enemy of the people. Always lashing out with anger and accusations and nasty comments and trying to destroy people's reputations when they're not aligned with him, when they cross him, when they say something that is not Trump-like, when they have broken the oath, the supposed oath of support to their president, the dictatorship that it is. Ron, you're going a little too far today with this political stuff. I know. So we might as well get on with our guest, and I promise I won't do this tomorrow, but every once in a while, I just find it incredibly sad. We're in the middle of the Me Too movement. And that doesn't only involve women, it involves me too. Me too. Because women may have different physical attributes than men do. But they are human beings as well. They have brains, they have hearts. They work, they pay taxes, they stand on the planet, they breathe with us. Us, because I'm a man, I use the term us. And any inkling that in history or even today that women are treated differently than men as human beings and as citizens angers the hell out of me. Because I thought that this country was so progressive And some of it is, and some of it isn't. Some of it wants to fight that. And it's all in the name of power and dominance. There is no power and dominance in this country. We're all human beings here. We all have an opportunity, and yet we all choose to destroy each other from within. My anger is not toward people. It's the way that people are. It's society. The loss of civility, respect, humanity, intelligence, common sense.
1,000 points of light. I never quite got that one. I'm trying to say, what the hell is that? Has anyone ever figured that one out? And it was put out by a Republican, wasn't it?
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Well, you know, we're all concerned about the weather these days. It is my belief that it's not necessarily cyclical, although weather is through the years, through the centuries. But it's also that the planet is warming. For whatever reason, that means we have to be really, really careful in what we do with the atmosphere. Every other country has aligned in order to try to solve this problem and to get it under control. But our president here in the United States has decided we're not going to participate. We are the only country on the planet, the only country, civilized country on the planet, that is not participating in their concerns about the state of the atmosphere on this planet. The only one. We don't talk about that. That's embarrassing. I don't know how the argument can go otherwise, but that's the way it is. And as a result, the waters of the great oceans are getting warmer and warmer. By degrees, the warmer the oceans, the more intense the storms. There have always been storms. There will always be tumultuous storms all across the globe. But they will become intensified because of the warmer waters. Every storm, or at least most, will be intense. There will be more loss of lives, more consequences, more flooding, more intensity, more winds. So, Bonnie Schneider, we've talked to her before. She is a weather expert. She helps us prepare for these intense storms, of which they are a-coming. She's written a book called Extreme Weather. We're going to talk to her right now.
Hi, Ron. This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Good to talk to you again.
To speak with you as well.
Bonnie Schneider joins us. She is an expert in the category of weather. As a matter of fact, she's written a book that's quite impressive called Extreme Weather, A Guide to Surviving Flash Floods, Hurricanes, Heat Waves, Snowstorms, Tsunamis, and Other Natural Disasters. That's a list of things that scare the hell out of me, to be honest with you.
I know, and the fact that we're dealing with a major hurricane making landfall today just shows how timely it is.
Yeah, I was speaking to an individual in the Philippines last night as well. They're expecting a tsunami typhoon kind of thing. I mean, and I said to him, "Is like, am I crazy, or is weather becoming more extreme all the time, where extreme has become normal?"
Well, I think, unfortunately, the weather has become more extreme, and I also think that that's one of the problems, that it's just affecting so many people that are living in more vulnerable areas mm-hmm. along the coast, like the one affecting Florence. And that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, because I wanted people to be prepared for these events when they occur. It's very important that people take precautions just because these storms do impact you. I mean, you're in Boston where you have, you know, these major snowstorms, and we can lose power as well.
Well, yeah, it's snowstorms, hurricanes. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any part of, well, there might be a couple of parts of the world where you're kind of okay, but certainly in this country, there's always some kind of disaster, whether it be tornado, earthquake. I can't think of an area where you can just sit there and go, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, I was mentioning that whether it is a tornado or a snowstorm, we can lose power.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have portable generators, which is a great thing because you can keep the power on. But what you may not realize is that you can't have a portable generator indoors because there's dangerous CO2 gas that will be emitted. So it's important to take it outside. The Portable Generator Manufacturers Association says that this is something that people need to be aware of. If they shouldn't put them in a basement or a breezeway, they need to be outside. So they have a website, takeyourgeneratoroutside.com, and that has more information on how to keep your family safe.
Yeah. I mean, not only is it supposed to be outside, but it's supposed to be a decent distance away from the house.
That's right, and there's more specific safety tips about that on their website as well.
Yeah.
I think that people, you know, just, you know, you're in the frenzy of extreme weather and you want to just get the power on, but you really want to do it safely.
Yeah, I mean, these days, loss of power is, you know, can be dangerous for many people who need it for medical reasons, and of course in extreme cold. I think cold kills kind of more than anything else.
Actually, it's water is really, cold kills more than heat, but it's more water-related deaths for sure.
Wow.
You know, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because one of the problems when we have flooding events is that we have a lot of property damage.
Yes.
But if you also have your precious documents and photos, you know, that I you know, we obviously remember when we didn't scan photos and we just had it on our a photo album.
Yep.
So those are priceless pictures that you can't replace. One of the things you can do is Epson has a brand new Fast Photo FF680W wireless high-speed photo and document scanning system, and they literally can scan thousands of photos per second, so it's really an incredible thing, because I think a lot of people don't want to take the time to do all that. But if you get them scanned, they're in there. You can also scan your important documents, and this way, if there's a water disaster, you'll have everything. You don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
One less thing to worry about.
That's the major upswing of technology, that you can actually put that like in your tiny little shirt pocket and you've got everything right there. That's amazing. You know, extreme weather kind of helps us understand that we need to organize ourselves and our things like in a way that's available to us in a safe manner.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, that you want to make sure you're organized. And I also recommend that people have a disaster kit with them.
Yeah.
You know, and you should have that at home and in your car, because a lot of people I interviewed in my book were stranded in a car in a snowstorm and they didn't have what they needed. But, you know, if you're dealing with an event like a flooding event, for example, one thing to have in your kit, I actually mentioned it in my book, Extreme Weather, is bleach. You know, we think of it for clothes, but it's interesting. Bleach has other purposes. Clorox is a vital tool for this, because what you can do is, let's say you have a water-based natural disaster, the water could be contaminated. So bleach, if it's used properly, can help treat that contaminated water. And also, like, if your backyard or your property is dealing with mold and mildew, the bleach can act as a way to kill the bacteria.
Oh.
This way you won't get mosquitoes breeding in the areas, which is always a problem after the storm. It helps with mildew as well. So Clorox regular bleach really helps with this ready. And even the American Red Cross recommends including bleach in their survival kit supplies.
Wow. Well, you got to be careful not to ingest it.
Absolutely. Make sure it's labeled properly
in
bleach.
Okay. Any other tips?
Yes, I would absolutely recommend, you know, after the storm, we look around at ourselves and our property.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the businesses in your community are also impacted. And you may not know this, but FEMA actually said that 40% of small businesses in natural disaster-affected areas never reopen. That's a big loss to the community.
Yeah.
So Visa has launched the Visa Back to Business Project, and they help consumers find these businesses. It's on their website, visa.com/backtobusiness, and they can connect them so you can help them get back on their feet again. It's a really great program. They had it during Hurricane Harvey, and there was a very famous bakery in Houston called Three Brothers Bakery that people were able to assist through this program. So Visa, the Back to Business Project, really connects consumers with small businesses, and it helps them just, you know, get back. You don't want to lose 40% of small businesses after a storm.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I just want to make sure everyone is prepared. I know Hurricane Florence is affecting the southeast right now, but before you know it, in Boston, we'll be dealing with snowstorms, so this would be a great time to make sure you have all the supplies I mentioned in place. You can go to tipsontv.com for more information.
Great. And I will mention your book, again, which is a pretty good read to know how to handle this kind of thing, because you never know. Extreme Weather, A Guide to Surviving Flash Floods, Hurricanes, Heat Waves, Snowstorms, Tsunamis, and other natural disasters. I mean, what would happen if someone knocked on your door, or an official, and said you have to evacuate immediately? You wouldn't know what to take. It would take you hours to get things together. So it's nice to plan.
Yeah, and I interviewed people that exact same scenario happened to.
Yeah.
So you're right, and it's better to be ready. That you want to keep it as less stressful as possible.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Bonnie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. There's Bonnie. Say goodbye to Bonnie. Bye, Bonnie. All right. Thanks for putting up with me today so I could get these things off my chest. And I have a large chest to get things off of. Actually, it's not that big. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all become one again. Let's work toward that. And my goodness, no matter who you are, vote in November. I'll remind you. Until then, I wish you peace.